Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 10, day 2 of our study of the book of Exodus. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Exodus chapter 38. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're going to be looking at Exodus 38. And my favorite part about this is where we actually look at what everything costs, what was donated to make the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, all of these things. I really find this fascinating, and I hope you will too. But before we do that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Exodus chapter 38, starting in verse 1. They built the altar, a burnt offering of acacia wood, 3 cubits high. It was square, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. They made a horn at each of the 4 corners so that the horns of the altar were of 1 piece, and they were overlaid the altar with bronze. They made all its utensils of bronze, its pots, its shovels, sprinkling bowls, meat forks, and fire pans. They made a grating for the altar, a bronze network to be under its ledge, halfway up the altar. They cast bronze rings to hold the poles for the 4 corners of the bronze grating. They made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. They inserted the poles into the rings so that they would be on the sides of the altar for carrying it. They made it hollow out of boards. They made the bronze basin and its bronze stand from the mirrors of the women who served at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Now here we see that the mirrors had been donated, and mirrors were not like we have nowadays. Mirrors were not nowadays. What we have are generally glass with some kind of silvery coating on the back. They didn't have that at this point. What they had was some kind of shiny gold or silver or bronze, generally bronze, but polished to a high, you know, highly reflective state. And so women had come and donated these things for this. This altar is made of a box. It's acacia wood. And then of course it's got bronze hammered all around it. Everything in the tabernacle, all of the utensils, everything except for the lampstand. The lampstand is the only exception to this. Everything was made of wood and then basically covered in gold or bronze or silver or something. The lampstand is the only thing made out of 1 piece of gold with no wood structure behind it. All right, continuing on, verse 9. Next, they made the courtyard. The south side was 100 cubits long and had curtains of finely twisted linen, with 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, and with silver hooks and bands on the posts. The north side was also 100 cubits long and had 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, with silver hooks and bands on the posts. The west end was 50 cubits wide and had curtains with 10 posts and 10 bases, with silver hooks and bands on the posts. The east end toward the sunrise was also 50 cubits wide. Curtains 15 cubits long were on one side of the entrance with 3 posts and 3 bases, and curtains 15 cubits long were on the other side of the entrance to the courtyard with 3 posts and 3 bases. All the curtains around the courtyard were finely twisted linen. The bases for the posts were bronze. The hooks and bands on the posts were silver, and their tops were overlaid with silver. So all the posts of the courtyard had silver bands. The curtain for the entrance to the courtyard was made of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer. It was 20 cubits long and, like the curtains of the courtyard, 5 cubits high, with 4 posts and 4 bronze bases. Their hooks and bands were silver, and their tops were overlaid with silver. All the tent pegs of the tabernacle and the surrounding courtyard were bronze. So here we see that as you get further away from the center of worship, the materials are getting less and less costly. So we've moved from having, you know, gold bases and things like that to now bronze bases, silver hooks, and these kinds of things. So the further away you get, the less costly materials. And I don't know that there's any other meaning in that other than, you know, the further you get away from the seat of God's earthly throne, you know, less precious it becomes. The closer you come, the more precious it gets. Incidentally, all of these materials, they're going to be, at least to some degree, a sense of pride for the Israelites. I mean, they've donated all of this stuff. We're about to see how much they donated. and they're going to be carrying them and looking at them, you know, pretty constantly. Even if you weren't a priest and you weren't allowed to go into the holy place to offer sacrifices, you could still see the gold bases and you could still see all of the materials that are involved in this tent structure, and everyone's camped around it. So it's constantly before them. All right, continuing on verse 21. These are the amounts of materials used for the tabernacle. The tabernacle of the covenant law, which were recorded at Moses' command by the Levites under the direction of Ithamar, son of Aaron, the priest. Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made everything the Lord commanded Moses. With him was Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and a designer and an embroiderer in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen. The total amount of gold from the wave offering used for all the work of the sanctuary was 29 talents and 730 shekels, according to the sanctuary shekel. So this is just a tremendous, tremendous amount of gold. I mean, we're talking about a couple thousand pounds, close to a ton of gold. I mean, this is just a tremendous amount of gold that's been donated for this. I mean, at the time, that is an unfathomable amount of gold. I've said this before, but I think it's important to make mention of the fact that, now gold is much easier to come by than it was at this time in history. Now we have, huge mechanized mining operations that produce gold. In this time, they had mines and places where, people are literally banging on rocks by hand, or they're panning for it in little streams and things like that. And they're coming up with small amounts of gold and then, collecting it. And it was very difficult labor-wise to come by gold at this point in history. And so gold was much more valuable, much more costly. So I think when you look at everything that we've got here, this was I don't think anything in human history had ever been built that was worth as much as this, certainly pound for pound and square footage. I'm not even sure that the Great Pyramids in Egypt were as valuable or as costly as what this was. When you think about the labor to cut the stones and then move them, it was a tremendous amount of work to build the Great Pyramids, but I'm still not convinced that they were as costly as this tabernacle. Continuing on verse 25. The silver obtained from those of the community who were counted in the census was 100 talents and 1775 shekels, according to the sanctuary shekel. One beka per person, that is half a shekel, according to the sanctuary shekel, from everyone who had crossed over to those counted 20 years old or more. A total of 600,350 men. The 100 talents of silver were used to cast the bases for the sanctuary and for the curtain. 100 bases from the 100 talents, one talent for each base. They used the 1,775 shekels to make the hooks for the posts, to overlay the tops of the post, and to make their bands. So here we see, these posts, they're made out of solid bronze. I mean, and they're very heavy because they don't want these curtains that are out there for the walls of the tent. They don't want them blowing over. And so these things are very heavy, 100 pounds, I think is what a shekel was, something like that. And so, I mean, this is just a tremendous amount of metal that's been brought in for this tent structure. I mean, imagine having to carry all these things and load all this stuff up. I mean, this is a big, big ordeal and a very costly ordeal. Verse 29. The bronze from the wave offering was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. They use it to make the basis for the entrance to the tent of meeting, the bronze altar with its bronze grating and all its utensils, the basis for the surrounding courtyard, and those for the entrance for all the tent pegs and for the tabernacle and for those surrounding the courtyard. Oh, and excuse me, the previous section, I meant to say silver, not bronze. All of these bases are silver, and now we've got all of this extra bronze as well for the outer courtyard bases and all of that. The silver is for the inner part. And again, this is just an amazing amount of precious metal. One extra thing that I want to point out is this issue of 603,550 men. This is somewhat contested by scholars who don't believe the Bible, and it's even somewhat contested by scholars that do believe the Bible. This might have been a transposition of numbers, that there weren't this many people that came out of Egypt. But I think as we're looking at this, it can be very easy to say, well, my goodness, you know, how could there have been that many people come out of Egypt when you look at population and what scientists, when they project backwards, how many people they think were on Earth at a given time. There's not really that many people alive on planet Earth. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of evidence of any one city or place that would have housed this many people, because this translates, if it's 603,000 men, again, you know, we've done some math already in the study that translates to somewhere between 1.5 and 2.5 million people total when you count women and children. And so a lot of people view this number as a little bit incredulous. But I think if we really focus on the problem at the beginning of Exodus here that led to God delivering his people was Pharaoh and the Egyptians. They were noticing how rapidly the Israelites were multiplying. I mean, they were multiplying like crazy, and it causes a huge crisis. And when you're talking about multiplication across many generations, and this crisis went on for some time, we know because it was a crisis at the beginning of Moses' life, because he should have been drowned in the river, and it's still a crisis when he comes back, and there's just that many more of them. And they've shifted from trying to snuff them out, which didn't work, to now just working them as hard as they possibly can, which incidentally seems to have worked better than trying to snuff them out when Moses came back. That was the that was the plan. So I think the 603,000 men, I think this is actually a legitimate number of men. Again, translating that out to, you know, 1.5 to 2.5 million people. Nobody knows for sure, but there's a tremendous number of people involved here. Tremendous number. And I think that this number should be believed without really strong evidence to the contrary. And all of the textual evidence we have is mostly kind of circumstantial, and it's mostly driven by people that are a little bit incredulous at this number. But I think unless there is very strong evidence to say, well, you know, the textual data that we have says actually this is a transposition of numbers, which there are places like that in Scripture. There really are. But this, I believe, is one of those where people are kind of looking for something because they find what it actually says a little incredulous. I think we should take it at face value for what it is and believe the word that there are actually 600,000 men, you know, translating up to 1.5 to 2 million people. The other thing I want to point out here is, again, I've mentioned this before, but I think by my accounting, I think this translates to about $350 million just worth of gold and silver, not even counting the bronze. You get into that, you get into the labor to build it. I don't think the labor was all that extensive in building this tent. I think the linen and things like that could have also been incredibly expensive because those things were very hard to come by as well. But I think just from the cost of the precious metals, I think that was worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $350 million. I have a hard time believing that at the time, even the Great Pyramids cost as much. So this, at this moment in history, this is the most costly structure, costly thing on planet Earth. In the history of planet Earth, this is the most precious thing ever created. And it was actually created by the wealth that the Egyptians made off of the backs of the Israelites that they then gave to them as they left Egypt. Because one of the most important things, the Lord said this multiple times to Moses on the front end, when you leave, ask them for things because I'm going to make them favorably disposed toward you and they're going to give you their stuff. The Lord wanted the Israelites greatly enriched on their departure for this and for provision for the next 40 years and for their entrance into the promised land. This is just an amazing passage, and this number is just boggles the mind. It absolutely boggles the mind what they were able to do in tents in the desert. And I think the Lord can do amazing things in our lives too. I mean, this is absolutely amazing. The things that he can do in our life, they pale in comparison to this, but they're still big to us. The Lord can do amazing things. Well, for the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.